Hi, I'm Rob Wilson. I'm going to go through a couple of slides now over the next 20 minutes or so and take you through how we've been using benefits management processes in the ASPECT project. Really, what we've been doing is focusing how we close the gap between stakeholders and learning technology experts. We think this is something which goes quite wrong quite often, and really the LT experts' perspective of what they think benefits are and what the stakeholders are often different. And in addition to this, this has not been well communicated or understood, and we're looking to see if we can solve this in a much easier manner. So, as we're saying here, closing the gap is really our focus, and done a fair amount of research in the way that benefits presentation in other projects, commercial ones, and it always seems to be a real problem to describe what the core value and why certain practices should be accepted and others to be avoided. So, you know, what we're looking at here is what are the benefits and maybe even the disbenefits of a given practice or process or the use of some technologies. For us, benefits modeling and management is one way of making visible and auditing how a project like ASPECT can show its true value, and this is something we're focusing on. Discovered and modeled benefits and disbenefits are related to roles and actual requirement. So this drives this whole issue about being specific about what you want, who's doing it, what the requirements are. And using a benefits model, we can actually relate these benefits and disbenefits to specific capabilities. The rationale is that benefits and disbenefits are directly related to stakeholders and partner roles and how the built technology has been created by a project. We're looking to see whether the technology actually enables and benefits all of the stakeholders or maybe just a few. And using an audit process, we can model and directly relate them to the provided technology enablers, which often is not well stated. Is this new? No, actually we don't think this is a new thing. This is just the fact that we've got practice which is operated in commercial projects which doesn't seem to be applied to academic or learning technology projects. So we're actually bringing practice from other domains into this particular project. So some key questions we can ask ourselves: is the benefits management strategy fully integrated into the program plan? Is there evidence of active management of potential benefit? Are the potential benefits clearly identified? Is there a clear plan to manage the delivery of those potential benefits? And as a qualifier, are the benefits understood across the project? Often those key questions aren't asked or even understood. Some suggested content in terms of how you start to structure this, you can see here, outline description of the program benefits. A model of the benefits showing the interdependencies and the dependencies of the specific areas of change. Description of the capability, the technical capability in terms of function, roles and responsibilities. And provide a review and assessment audit process for measuring benefits realization across the whole project. So we're focusing on closing the gap between stakeholders and the learning technologies. Our objective is intending to work all together with all our work packages, and you can see in the ASPECT project we've been running across all our work packages of work package 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, feeding into our dissemination work package of 4, and this is operated from our work package of project evaluation so that we can audit these functions and look at the findings of these to report back. And I think the important thing here is this is not new. This is not one of those places where somebody says it's a paradigm shift. This is existing practice being brought to bear on a project. So, to be specific, benefits realization is all about baselining the business benefit, and this is something which is often forgotten about in some of the academic projects. Undertaking a functional audit, which is really looking at the way that people are delivering these benefits and whether the benefits have been accrued or achieved. And also we're looking at the way that the technical capability is being built and presented to resolve how this is actually audited to give us benefits. So very clear structuring taking place in the way that we actually go through this. This is the kind of process framework we've put in place in how we've been doing this work. Basically, we set the scope of the framework, the business and benefits management, as a causal framework. And it's important to emphasize it's a causal framework rather than just a generic one. We audit the roles in terms of who wants what, in terms of understanding how the stakeholders are looking at benefits and capabilities. We actually publish those roles specifically in a benefits taxonomy. We also publish what the benefits are, so that's very clear. We publish what we call a capability taxonomy. This taxonomy basically is a description of how the capability is being engineered in terms of how it's substructured into functions and features. Then we actually say, well, where are the use cases we want to observe where these benefits are taking place? So we set some specific use cases. And then from those use cases, we basically then generate what we call a causal framework from the case studies, and then create benefits profiles, which give us the ability to give that as an audit or a report. That's essentially the sequencing we're running through in the ASPEC project. This slide here is very simply a little bit more high level in that it's really saying we're trying to discover where effective or more efficient use of the technology, which is supported with some kind of change or best practice, is evolving in new ways of actually doing things, new artifacts. So an artifact could be an existing way of doing something. We declare how we do that. We look at the procedural effect of that, and we actually potentially generate new artifacts, which is new practice. So this is a bit more of a detailed explanation of where we think we're using our rigor to do this. Now, how have we structured the activity? This is a bit more of a formal description of the framework. It's in simple terms, it's actually a series of taxonomies and an ontology. It's basically, let's describe the roles very specifically. Let's construct that into a benefits taxonomy, which is hierarchical. Let's, in addition, generate a capability taxonomy, which describes specifically what we have as our technological capability. And then we'll generate a model between the two taxonomies and see how those have been correlated and show how the taxonomy from the technology is delivering the benefit in the benefit taxonomy. In a more simplified statement, here you can see the benefits are all about the core objectives for educational resource services, and the capability is all about what we've actually built in terms of metadata servicing, management, exposure, content creation, content packaging. So capability is all to do with technology, benefits is to do with objectives. And what we're really trying to do here with the benefit aspect framework is to understand what qualities of delivery are people putting in place, what are the measures to deliver those qualities or that capability, what kind of outcomes have we observed in terms of new practice, adopted practice, and where can we find class evidence where this is taking place. So for us, the critical thing is that our audit model is actually these four distinct green columns you see there between the two taxonomies. So that's our aspect framework. To give you a more sort of specific detailed role, you can see here's some of our Visio diagrams, which are giving us a lot more detail of how we do this. So we tend to use Visio as one of our tools to capture this so that we can deal with these particular things in detail. Here's a simpler diagram for you to look at, which is how we construct the auditing components between the two capability taxonomies and the benefits taxonomy. What we're looking for is, in terms of a quality attribute, has somebody delivering the technology put forward a testable evidential capability? In other words, is it supportable? Is it available? Is it shareable? So we ask people to be very clear about what they're trying to do. A measure is designed to realize the delivery of service, or as in terms of the quality you see here. So it could be an environment. An outcome is where that environment has been uploaded with content or whatever, and we can see that this is a delivered service. So an outcome is a delivered service of a measure. And where we see aggregated benefit, we're looking for adoption evidence, where we ask people, as a result of having the new Icodian framework, for example, does this mean we've actually got content cartridges being used? And we're asking who's done this, what and where. So you can see the four components of the auditing environment are very specifically trying to create connectivity between what we've built and what we want, and this is a mechanism of assessing whether or not we've achieved this. Let's spend a bit of time now looking specifically at the taxonomy for benefits. So in the case of aspect, this is our role definition, where we specifically baselined what we think the roles are for people in the aspect project. These are roles, not job descriptions. You should find that some person may actually undertake a number of these roles doing one job, so you mustn't necessarily assume that this is just the description of one person. You can see we've got five key roles: the policymakers, who are looking for how the standards and specifications and best practice are taking place; the publisher, who's got some specific sub-roles to actually achieve: author, edit, produce, catalogue, license, markets, content; syndicator, whose job it is to collect information about other people's published content, catalogue it, maybe provide some evaluation, they distribute this information to others, they may even license content on others' behalf. A teacher is basically the receiver of the publisher and the syndicator, and basically is collecting information, procuring the rights to use resources, aligning resources with their requirement, repackaging them if necessary, and delivering those in a delivery environment or a classroom. The consumer, and we really think about this, is going to be the student, the pupil, the lecturer, who's basically using this resource or receiving this resource. They are collecting it, they're using it, they're receiving it, and then themselves, they have to manage that. So these are the critical roles which we've actually seen within the project. Now, our benefits taxonomy. This is the current definitions of where we are seeking to measure what has been achieved by the project. So what you can see that the key benefits are the first four in the middle of the diagram here. And what we're really saying is that these benefits are leading to improved syndication, improved publishing, improved use, and improved knowledge support. When we break these down into greater detail, they become a lot more complex. So this is an entire description of what we think the benefits taxonomy here. So we have a four-level sub-definition. The text isn't big enough here for folks to read, so it's really there showing you how complex the taxonomy can become. If we look in a bit more detail what these are, then we can see this is the capability taxonomy, which is the technological one. This is describing how the technology is being constructed, and you can see the taxonomy here is about the capability, the function type, its functions and its features. So for example, in this case we have a function type of the metadata service, which is a series of key functions in terms of design, registries, vocabulary management, validation, collection, enrichment, a storage repository. So those are the function types, and you can see the orange boxes in our understanding what the key features are. These are our two taxonomies. So let's move on to how, once we've got those taxonomies created, these are the critical use cases we're going to audit and observe whether benefits have been created, or whether there are disbenefits, or whether this is just simply establishing the status quo. So what you see here in the four orange boxes are the four selected use cases for the Aspect project. These are identifying each different facet of particular stakeholders. So one relating to teachers, one to content providers, one about content providers presenting and exposing metadata, and syndicators monitoring and capturing metadata for discovery purposes. So looking at use case one, this is all about teachers using content packaging. So the project trial the use of content packaging, and these are the specific dissemination audit tracks which have taken place. Teachers looking for content, teachers using an existing piece of package content, and then generating three or four different formats of packaging, and then taking feedbacks and questionnaires and experience thereafter. And you can see we've been using SCORM and IMS Common Cartridge packages to achieve that. These are the expected benefits which we are looking for. So our audit tracks are looking for these particular things. So these are aspirational statements at this point. So 1, 2 and 3 are assumed to be aspirational benefits which relate to the benefit taxonomy which we've described. Moving on. This is use case 2. This is where we're looking at content providers adapting and changing content from SCORM to Common Cartridge to see about the differences, and having maybe content packaging available in two or three formats: non-package content, SCORM-based content, and Common Cartridge content, so that all three different types of packaging are available for review. These are the assumed benefits for use case 2. So it's a bit like the same kind of packaging benefits when you package these to go onto a CD using some form of format. We generate interoperability compatibility with LMSs because the packaging is actually something which can be played in the VLEs, whatever type of learning platform they're looking for. We have potentially new markets for content, and does this present some form of newly acquired capability for a content packager? Next use case relates very specifically to do with metadata. What we're looking at here is actually for the content providers to produce and modify the metadata they generate within their own repositories using a specific application profile, and then presenting the availability of that metadata to be harvested by the Learning Resource Exchange, which is used by the Aspect project. The metadata then can be reviewed and enriched and returned to the repository. So that's the very specific use case we have in terms of exposing and producing and publishing metadata. Again, these are the assumed benefits which we've been questioning and testing from our content providers. Does this in fact give them wider market access because their metadata is being federated? Does it give them increased benefit because they have additional services in terms of metadata enrichment and conformance? And do they have additional value because they're part of a developer community where they can share trends and visions about collaborating in the way that metadata is produced? Use case 4 is in the role of the syndicator. We're looking for a scenario where the syndicator is providing a platform where metadata is harvested from a series of content producers or providers, and they then can do a number of services on that: assign identifiers, enrich the metadata, align purchasing, licensing information, etc. So use case 4 is all about a syndicator providing a service to a number of content providers. And the benefit to the syndicator may about these core things: produce tools to help distribution of metadata about content to be more easily found, provide best practice to support metadata publishing and authoring, standardize vocabularies and thesauri so that information and description is shared and standardized, feedback to the content providers about their metadata produced, how it's been published, and also generate automated and efficient metadata discovery services for the consumer and also for the content provider. The end result is that teachers should be able to find resources more efficiently and more effectively. Okay, so those are our 4 use cases. So let's now look at how this benefits process via the 4 use cases is sitting into our benefits audit framework. So what we've actually done to review where we are is that we have a benefits taxonomy, which is saying this is what we want. We've created a capability taxonomy saying this is what we've got in terms of technology to provide the benefit. We've asked our teams, our technical operational teams, to define the qualities of service they intend to deliver. For example, what level of interoperability, what level of service do they intend to think? We've asked them to say, well, what kind of measures have you got to put in place? What technical measures? What operational measures? What governance measures you put in place there? How do people use a particular application profile, for example? And then we assess and derive the evidence. Now, this is the more interesting bit for us because we find that we've done all of the first 5, and it's this assessment and derivation of evidence which is the interesting part. What we're looking at is essentially audit tracks. So we ask people to specifically identify critical benefits they want. So a blue arrow could be enhanced discoverability. And the evidence arrows there and the track you see through the audit framework are showing how a particular benefit is being realized from some type of capability. So that's a very generic view of how an audit track looks to a layperson. When we look at them in more detail, let's go back to the previous slide, we're looking at the adoption evidence information which you see in the middle column, we're saying, well, where do we see information from hard evidence that the content publishers and producers have been able to adopt the practice? So here are some of the sample questions we've been using in the questionnaires to actually get primary data from the project to understand whether there is real evidence that some of the audited benefit which we presented in the audit tracks actually is presenting meaningful change. So, next steps. We draft out the benefit profiles by the use case, so we relate those audit tracks to the use case and write those up. Produce charts and diagrams and a report to find out what those results look like, and then we'll report those findings in a final report for the project to describe how potentially the project has delivered audited benefit rather than just assumed benefit. So to conclude, and if you look at the little diagram or little graphic there, I quite like that because it's a bit of fun. In English it's really talking about deniability, and people don't like being asked to describe how they've achieved things or being measured. So part of the process of the audit with benefits realization and modeling inside Aspect is to try and get some level of achievement management fed into the project with defined process. So really, in conclusion, you can observe that benefits modeling and presentation is being used to close that gap, and you can see what we've stated here by achieving roles, the critical benefits, what the capabilities are, and present causal reasoning that these things have been achieved with evidence. Okay. That's it for our webinar on benefits management. Here's some information about me, and thank you very much for listening.